Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
So we interviewed President Trump yesterday on the radio show, and it went incredibly well. I think it was the best interview he's done with us yet. We have about 15 to 17 minutes with him. It's a radio segment. We're very respectful of his time. We don't run over. And some of the things he said about personnel being policy are critical, and it relates to the first story out of the gate today we're going to get to, which is hugely important. And I'm actually shocked, even with the left-wing media, that the story isn't getting more play. The story's about the FBI and everything that's gone awry. I'm going to tie that to the Trump interview. I got a loaded show for you today, a lot to talk about. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Right out of the gate, we're going to hit this. This FBI story is stunning. And Jerry Dunleavy and a few others finally put together, he's a reporter at The Examiner, a connection here. Personnel or policy? We have got to clean this fetid, putrid swamp out of Washington, D.C. That and a lot more.
With cyber attacks on the rise, protecting your data security is more important than ever. So why is Congress considering a law that puts your data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill shifts billions in consumer spending to less secure payment networks, all so that corporate megastores can make bigger profits. Don't let Durbin-Marshall steal your data. Visit handsoffmyrewards.com/security and tell your senators to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, Joseph, let's go.
And away we go. Lots of stuff.
Busy show today. Yeah. Joe knows. He sees all the emails in the morning. So again, we interviewed President Trump yesterday. I'll get to that. I believe the personnel portion where we asked him about the people he hired in the government is the most critical part because we can't have that mistake again. We asked the hard questions and he answered them like a pro. Why? Because it's very relevant to this first story that is devastating. I'm genuinely stunned that even the lib media isn't like, okay, guys, this is bad. We've got to cover this. I'll bet you haven't even heard this story yet. Washington Examiner, I know. Wait. It sounds staticky. That's the cover. Did you mess up that cut, Joe? That's
this
little staticky coverage of Joe's audio skills are just not where they were. That staticky sound of CNN. No, that's crickets. That's a cricket sound. Yes. Very good, Joe. There's CNN covering this story. Should be covered in detail. It's not. Washington Examiner, the great Jerry Dunleavy. Please go to my newsletter today. I need you to read this story. Go to bongino.com/newsletter. It's free. Sign up. Read the story. Please. I'm begging you. Hunter Biden evidence wrongly labeled disinformation by the FBI, says a new whistleblower. Point number one. Finally, what have we been? We get this. The listeners to this show are amazing. You all have emailed me probably over 1,000 times and said, Dan, you keep telling me you work with some decent people at the FBI. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. They were decent people. Where are they now? I don't know. I didn't work with the entire FBI. I worked with a limited number of people in Lyra. They say, Dan, you keep saying that. So where are all the damn whistleblowers? Finally, probably 6 years too late, but finally some whistleblowers are starting to pop here and saying, I've had enough of this crap going on at the FBI. It's late. I get it. I'm not content to rest on my, oh, great, whistleblowers, blah, blah, blah. It's late, but I'll take it. I'll take it late rather than never. So remember, of course, before the 2020 election, the Hunter Biden laptop story emerged. Hunter Biden doing crack, prostitutes, emails, kicking money up to the big guys, thought to be Joe Biden. It was just a devastating story. Of course, the media made it go away in conjunction with the fact checkers and social media because we live in a corrupt media environment right now full of Soviets and totalitarians. Well, now all of a sudden we figure out through this FBI whistleblower that the FBI may have had a big role in making this thing do the dipsy-doo flipperooski and go away.
Oh.
The Dunleavy story. We have the golden rules on the show, and they are golden. What is one of the golden rules of following complicated cases we've said from the beginning? Remember the names. If you memorize the names in a case, it's one of the best investigative skills I ever learned. when you hear it pop, when you're interviewing someone, you're going to put two and two together right away. If you have to go back and look at a file and research it because you haven't remembered the names, it's never going to hit. I saw this name and right away I said, holy Moses. They note that this FBI, this is the Dunleavy story, supervisory intelligence agent, Brian Auden, oh boy, opened in August 2020 the assessment that was later used by the FBI, according to the disclosures, that one of the whistleblowers claimed that the FBI ASAC in charge of the Washington field office, Timothy Tebow, shut down a line of inquiry into Hunter Biden in October 2020, despite some of the details being known to be true at the time. So this guy, Brian Auden, was involved, according was involved with opening up this Hunter Biden case. Brian Auden, oh my gosh, I remember this name. It's A-U-T-E-N. Auden was involved in the intelligence analysis in this case. Huh. This is so weird. Here, the name popped again here. FBI Deputy Director at the time, Andrew McCabe, Peter Stroke, and analyst Brian Auden, and Justice Attorney Kevin Kleinsmith, remember the one who was charged with making deceptive statements about his contacts with the CIA, pretended that the Danchenko intel was credible to get the FISA courts okay for wiretaps on Carter Page and duped the Justice Department. All the while, they knew Danchenko had admitted it was baseless. Where's this story from? This story's from the New York Post, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Auden, same name. So Auden's a guy involved with the Hunter Biden laptop case right before the election. Strange. Brian Auden, according to the New York Post, is also the same guy involved with this team of buffoons, McCabe, Kleinsmith, and Peter Stroke, who made sure that the Danchenko information, remember Danchenko? He was the source, supposed to be the source for Christopher Steele. They were the ones who duped the FISA court into believing Danchenko's intelligence about all this other Trump collusion stuff was real, even though we found out later most of it was nonsense. Folks, are we putting two and two together here? It's the same guy. Personnel is policy. We have this key figure in the FBI investigation. You already know about Stroke. You know about Kleinsmith. You know about McCabe. You know about Comey. We have this guy, Auden, who's got his fingerprints on the Hunter Biden laptop case disappearing before the election, who also has his fingerprints on the Donald Trump colluded with the Russian case, colluded with the Russians case appearing before the 2016 election. Does anybody see this as even a little bit odd? Guys, am I reading this wrong? I know you don't like these stories. Is this not strange? No, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. The Dunleavy story goes on. By the way, the New York Post story I just cited to you about Auden's role in the collusion hoax with those other goofballs is also in the newsletter. Just read it and sit it side by side. It's the same guy inventing a fake narrative that Trump colluded with the Russians and deleting a real narrative about Hunter Biden and the laptop and their potential foreign corruption. Or making it go away. This is kind of a big deal. The Dunleavy piece, which is excellent. It's up on GinoReport.com too, if you want to check it out there. Whistleblowers alleged investigators from an FBI headquarters team were in communication with the FBI agents responsible for the Hunter Biden information targeted by Mr. Auden's assessment. Oh, they were. FBI headquarters? And their findings on whether the claims were true, the Hunter Biden laptop claims, or disinformation, they were placed in a restricted access subfile in September of 2020, according to the senator. So this guy Auden and the team are involved in an assessment of the Hunter Biden information. Was that assessment that it was Russian disinformation, even though we knew it was legitimate? And if so, why was it placed in a restricted access subfile? Is that so no one could see it before the election and no one could see the decision-making process by which you and your people may have categorized it falsely as Russian disinformation? The piece, believe it or not, gets even worse, the Dunleavy piece. We jumping back and forth there from the Post piece and back to the Dunleavy piece. So not only was Auten clearly involved in both of these cases, in a very suspicious fashion, Trump collusion looks real. Hunter laptop, even though it's real, looks like Russian disinfo. Really? Auten worked with this guy, Timothy Theobald, who is an ASAC, an assistant special agent in charge in the Washington office. So Dunleavy notes in the piece that Theobald, who investigated corruption in the nation's capital, may have violated the Hatch Act over his social media posts criticizing then-President Trump and then-Attorney General Barr in 2020, according to Horowitz, the Inspector General, last month. Folks, listen to me. Having a deep body of experience as a federal agent makes this issue very personal to me. When I realized under the Obama administration that I would have a difficult time separating my politics from my job, I knew it was time to resign. So I'm not going to speak with forked tongue. I did this. I've been there. Don't you dare. As an FBI agent, I met a guy this weekend, super nice guy, said, Dan, you're spot on. The agency's been corrupted. I'm not going to say where or who he was, but I'm telling you it happened. He said the agency has been hijacked by political buffoons who are weaponizing their power to take people's lives and freedom away to destroy this country. Listen to me. Don't take part in this. It is time for mass resignations and mass whistleblowers. We cannot continue as a country with a weaponized force of people out there being used to take people's lives and freedom away because you don't believe in their political ideology. This is so deeply disturbing. I had Donald Trump on the radio show yesterday. Mission number one. Mission number one, if he gets in 2024, wins that election, swears in 2025, mission number one has to be a thorough and complete disinfecting of this fetid, putrid DC swamp. And I would argue the two most important places to start have to be the Department of Justice and the FBI. If you cannot pledge allegiance to the Constitution and insist on pledging allegiance to a political party first and the American people second, giving them the double-browed middle finger, then you have to go. So I asked him about this Axios piece we had been discussing over the past few days, showing his battle plan, which is to start getting rid of federal employees who can't do their job and want to do politics first. He said the reporting isn't very accurate based on sourcing, but double down on that. Yes, that's the plan, to start getting better people in there. And I asked him a few questions about it. It's a very good part. I want you to listen to this interview. It's very important. He was very crisp in his answer here. He knows exactly what he needs to do, which is getting people like these guys from the FBI out of the government immediately. Take a listen.
They will slow walk things. They won't say no. They'll never say no. They'll slow walk. They'll say, oh, yes, sir, we'll get this done. And then all of a sudden you'll say, where are those papers? Oh, we're working on them hard. You have people that you would least suspect. It's a crazy place. The most important thing is personnel, because without the right personnel, and what people don't talk about and don't really understand, but maybe they do. I had great people, but I also had some bad ones. You know, you take recommendations. I was in Washington very little during the course of my life. 17 days, they tell me. I never stayed over. And some of those 17 days was building a great hotel that worked out very well. But, you know, I was in Washington very little, and I was taking recommendations of people that in some cases were rhinos, and rhinos that you didn't know were rhinos, or people that I wouldn't have agreed politically with certain things, but we're taking recommendations from people that I knew in Washington and that maybe I respected, but maybe in the end didn't. And you'd put some of those people in and they didn't do the job.
Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely correct. These people hurt him bad. He describes in the beginning how they slow walk things. He's not glossing over it. He's not pretending it didn't happen. How he would ask for declassifications and they would slow walk it. He recognizes the problem now. Hopefully, if he runs in 2024 and wins, this is priority number one, the FBI and DOJ. Folks, we know at this point, we know Hunter Biden had some corrupt international business dealings. We know that. Influence peddling overseas. We know influence peddling overseas requires many people to register as foreign agents. Register under FARA. There's a Foreign Agency Registration Act, FARA. We know Hunter Biden didn't do that. We know FARA has been used to go after Republicans in the past, but very rarely Democrats. Been used to target General Mike Flynn or people associated with the Republican Party, I should say. It's been used. Where is the investigation of Hunter Biden? With these people in charge, you're never going to get investigations into Hunter Biden. You're going to have a two-tiered system of justice. Remember the hierarchy. You're a politician and a liberal first who believes in authoritarianism. You're in charge and they're not. There's no hierarchy. You can kiss our butts. Now, Miranda Devine, who I published her book, Laptop from Hell, my company. The book is still amazingly at the top of the charts. Wrote a book about the Hunter Biden laptop fiasco. I can't believe, I'm really stunned. This guy's name keeps appearing and yet nothing seems to be happening. Miranda Devine was on Fox and Friends yesterday in a spectacular interview. I have two short cuts from it, but the first one, she describes FARA violations. Folks, we have a First Amendment, thankfully. You can lobby the United States government on behalf of whoever you want, as long as it's not criminal. You can't take bribes to bribe people. You get what I'm saying? But you have freedom of speech, thankfully, and you can go and email your congressman and say, hey, I think we should do this with regards to Taiwan. You are lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. The catch is, if you are doing that and you are getting paid for it, in most cases, you have to register as a foreign agent so everybody knows why you're doing what you're doing. Whether you like the law or not is irrelevant to this segment. It is what it is. Whether you like it or not, we can argue another time. That's how they nailed or tried to nail Lieutenant General Mike Flynn over his involvement with Turkey through FARA. So it's really strange how Hunter Biden, whose companies and the companies he's were associated with, were taking money from multiple foreign governments, Ukraine, Moscow, China, and companies he was associated with too. Yet Hunter Biden doesn't seem to have registered as a foreign agent. Here's Miranda Devine on exactly that topic. Check this out.
Then there is the fact that we know that from leaks from certainly previously from this grand jury in Delaware that's been operating since 2018, that they were looking at FARA violations. The only flip side of that is that FARA violations really have been not very well used at all, even though the law's been in place since 1938 to prevent Americans lobbying on behalf of foreign governments, but it's really in recent times only been applied against Republicans and particularly Trump world people. So, and we note that although people in Trump world, Republicans, have had search warrants executed on their homes, that has not happened right to Hunter Biden.
Is that because FBI personnel, who we described earlier in this segment, use their discretion to make sure that the law was only applied in a discretionary manner towards Republicans? Because justice that only sees one side, only attacks Republicans rather than Democrats for the same violations, is not justice at all. It's tyranny. Are these the new rules, by the way? I'm not a huge fan of some of these rules. But if Flynn and Bannon, Steve Bannon, are going to get hit over obstruction of justice charges and disobeying a congressional subpoena and FARA charges, then ladies and gentlemen, new rules. You like the new rules, Democrats? When we take the House back in 2022, I'll expect the exact same treatment towards everyone else. You redefine justice, we'll use that justice system too. Thank you very much. I want to get to part two of this interview in a minute, where she makes an interesting point, Miranda Devine, about why the Department of Justice and the FBI may be slow walking this case against Hunter Biden. But I think she may have kind of inadvertently danced around a point. If you're looking for a new rifle or shotgun, I wholeheartedly recommend Henry Repeating Arms. You can visit them at henryusa.com. They've got more than 200 models to choose from, plus new releases throughout the year. And trust me, folks, you cannot beat their quality and their craftsmanship. Henry's come in a wide variety of calibers, everything from 22s up to long-distance hunting rounds. And there's so many finishes to choose from. Blued steel, hardened brass and silver, antique color case, even an all-weather finish that can handle the toughest outdoor conditions. Some models have octagon barrels that are beautifully machined and polished. And they only use the best grades of genuine American walnut for their stocks. And I also like that they're made in America by a family-owned business that gives you a lifetime warranty. They have affordable models starting at $250, collectible editions that are splurge-worthy up to $3,000, and many options in between. And call them if you have questions. Their award-winning customer service team can help you find the Henry that's right for you. Start by ordering a copy of their free catalog at henryusa.com. They'll mail you the catalog with two free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals. henryusa.com. Okay, here's cut two from Miranda Devine's appearance on Fox & Friends, where she discusses why they may be slow walking the case, that they may be waiting for something. Now, she gives you the tough explanation and the more plausible one. I've got some color commentary on this on the other side that I think will illuminate a little bit here. Check this out.
It could show that the U.S. attorney in Delaware runs a very tight ship, unlike a lot of the other investigations we've seen into Republicans. And, you know, maybe they're just trying to avoid political interference. That would be the Pollyanna view. The other view, the more cynical view, would be that they are slow walking this until after the midterms. There is so much evidence on the laptop of both tax evasion as well as FARA violations. And, you know, it's obvious that Hunter Biden lied on his gun background check. And there is some suggestion that the grand jury is looking into that.
Yeah.
But we I guess we can only wait. But it has to be politically sensitive at the moment with the midterms coming.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to default to obviously the most cynical explanation because the government has let me down every single time I've given them the opportunity. The United States government has the political operation in the swamp has a 100% success record of failure with me. I'm going to default to they're slow walking it because it's in their benefit politically to slow walk it to see what happens in 2022. If 2022, the elections in November don't go well, Joe Biden will likely be forced out or forced not to run again. They will then expose the Hunter Biden thing and you don't doubt me and use it as a tool to get rid of him so he doesn't take down the entire Democrat Party in 2024. That's what I believe. There are other explanations as well, and I think it's important we put them out there. I believe that first one's the most likely. Another explanation, which Miranda kind of hints at there, is maybe they're waiting to see what happens in 2022 for different reasons. One of the potential reasons is they may be waiting for 2022 to have some political cover. Listen, this is unlikely to me. I have zero faith in DOJ officials anymore to do the right thing and not the easy thing for them. But I owe it to you to entertain it. There's a small possibility that they know they've got a lock, stock, and two smoking barrels case against Hunter Biden. Everybody tracking? You guys dig what I'm putting down? They know it. They know he's in real trouble. They also know that if they go forward with this case, there's going to be severe fallout from both the media that loves the Democrat Party and obviously the President of the United States because it's his son. So why do it now when they could be subjected to congressional oversight where the Democrats are in charge if they could push the charges till after the 2022 election, not be accused of interfering with an election, which is ridiculous. The facts are the facts. And secondly, they would have political cover if the Republicans take back the House and the Senate. Again, I'm leaning towards the first scenario where they're just pushing it off because they don't want to suffer the political ramifications until they can determine if Joe Biden's a viable candidate for 2024. Now, you may say, well, gosh, the laptop, man, they just got it. They don't have it. It's hard to find. Maybe they can't find all the information. What are they waiting for? Well, Matt Gaetz had a pretty interesting take on this at the Turning Point conference this week, and he gave a little speech, and Matt Gaetz was like, really? You guys don't have the laptop? You missing that? I got a copy right here. Check this out.
Let me speak to you directly, Hunter. I asked the FBI where your laptop was, and it seems they've misplaced it. How weird. But it just turns out that I have a copy right here. I entered it in the congressional record. We have your texts. We have your emails. We have the payments from Burisma. We have your travel records. We even know the Chinese communists who own you. You and the big guy have never lived one day under real Republican oversight.
I put that in there and I left that last line in for a reason. That's what leads me to that second possible explanation, that maybe just for a second, given the unlikely possibility we have some good actors in the DOJ, there's a small possibility they're waiting till after the election so they have some political cover when there'll be Republican oversight rather than Democrat oversight. Just a thought. There's another great article at justthenews.com. It's up on Gino Report as well and in my newsletter. Chuck Grassley, who has spent a lifetime calling out political BS in the FBI and elsewhere, he's a U.S. senator, of course. He said, corrupted to the very core. Whistleblowers say DOJ and FBI are showing political bias in investigations. Grassley's had none of this. He's having none of this anymore. He has been all, I remember when I was a Secret Service agent, they would say all the time about Grassley, like, don't mess around in front of Grassley. Love him or hate him, it's not my job. I'm not endorsing anybody or anything. I'm just telling you the facts. He has been all over corruption and bias in federal law enforcement for a long time. And he is very, very concerned about what's going on here. Folks, this is the big reason I support President Trump, and I'm hoping he runs again. He will not have the pressure of re-election. He can do the right thing. He doesn't have to do the easy thing. Political pressure is everywhere. Let's not pretend everybody here is above it. But the political pressure will be severely reduced. He doesn't have to worry about winning anything again. It is a generational opportunity for us. If he does the right thing to fix this broken government, get rid of the people who've hijacked it for political purposes, rather than the purposes of advancing public service. All right, I've got a lot more to get to. I want to switch gears. Folks, I'm fascinated and always have been by information warfare. I studied psychology in college for a reason. I wasn't because I was lazy or didn't want to do anything else, because I was fascinated by it. I used to read those books about the FBI mindhunters, their behavioral analysis teams. I've always been fascinated about why this mass of neurons and gray matter can produce insane, crazy things like, I don't mean insane in a bad way, I mean insane, like hard to comprehend art and these beautiful thoughts, how one person can put together a theory of relativity and yet another person that struggles to do basic math. It always fascinated me. So information warfare fascinates me too. How you can tell, I used to have a segment I was considering when I had my old show back at a different network. It was called Red News, Blue News. I love the idea of the segment. Maybe I'll do it on my Fox show. Red News, Blue News. The idea of the segment was how you can take the same fact set, facts, 3 + 3 = 6, and how the red news and the blue news interprets those two facts differently, which leads to a totally different outcome, which is strange because 3 + 3 = 6. You see this here, this morning, so Axios, which is a left-wing outlet. It's not as left-wing as Politico, but it's definitely left-leaning, liberal-leaning, right? I get their email in the morning. I like to see what the lefties are up to. And I'm reading through it because I love economics. And again, I love information warfare, how framing is a weapon. Take the same set of facts, frame them differently, and lead people to two separate outcomes, okay? I'm reading through this Axios email, and I'm like, this is it. This may be the greatest email ever in information warfare I've ever seen. Folks, the economy is in trouble. That is an objective fact. Inflation is high. Labor force participation is low. Corporate profits are down. The PPI, producer price index, is down. Productivity is down. We have maybe one good lipstick moment on this pig, and it's that unemployment is still relatively low, right? I get that. But the economy, by no objective measure, is in good shape right now. None. No objective person is going to tell you, given all of what I just told you, 6 or 7 bad data points and one good one, that 6-to-1 means we're in good shape. You read this Axios email this morning, it shows you how they frame everything. Republicans will never, ever get this courtesy, by the way. Here's what I mean. This is all on the same email. Here's screenshot one. I labeled them 1, 2, and 3 for Guy and Justin. It doesn't even matter. It's all the same thing. Here's a piece of bad news, but ... Yeah, a matter of fact, I'm not messing with you, Justin. I actually, here, look, here's my note. I, right before he showed up, but ... I wrote that down. Justin comes in this morning. He goes, Dan, it's like they wrote the bad news and said, but I'm like, dude, you and I are thinking alike. That's exactly what they do. Here's number one. This is about Walmart, one of the biggest retailers in the country, right? Everybody knows Walmart. You know, the Democrats think we're smellies because people shop there. You know, remember Peter Stroke? Tied that together. Well, totally unintentional. So Walmart. What's happening at Walmart is a proxy for what's happening in the economy. So Walmart's having some trouble right now. The sales aren't going as well as they thought they were going to go, meaning people aren't buying as much stuff because of inflation. So Walmart's getting stuck with a lot of product and is having to offer major discounts. Folks, that's a problem. People aren't buying as much stuff because they can't afford it. But listen to this. They say, while this is painful for investors, it could be good for consumers. Walmart's essentially saying, we'll be cutting a lot of prices on goods we're struggling to move. They're struggling to move them because consumers can't afford them. With inflation running at 9.1%, that's exactly what the economy needs. You get it? You can't afford stuff because inflation's high. But the good news is maybe in the future, because there's overstocks of stuff you can't afford, yeah, maybe you'll be able to afford stuff as they discount it because you can't afford it. This is just classic. Again, if this was a Republican story about Donald Trump's economy, I guarantee you that would be framed as the worst thing you've ever seen. Collapse, Walmart. The smellies can't afford their tobacco anymore. The stinkies, they can't afford their cheap wine. You redneck losers, guaranteed that would be the story. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You big smellies, that would be the story. Same email. Number two, this is about corporate profits forecasting going down. Businesses are making less money. Businesses we work for. Bad thing, right? But they know by the numbers, at first glance, the start of the season, talking about earnings season, hasn't been so bad. About 75% of companies are reporting profits higher than the consensus expectation amongst analysts. Still, they're beating those numbers by a narrower gap than usual, according to data provided by Refinitiv. So they were making this kind of money. They're now making less money. You're like, but it's not so bad. Again, if this was under the Trump administration, the headline would be, corporate profits collapse, American businesses falling apart, the Trump apocalypse continues, smellies, you bunch of hayseed losers. Look at you. So that would be the story. They hate us. You understand they hate us? I get those terms may offend you. I put them in there for you because that's for a reason. That's how they think of you. They use that language. That's how they think of you. Digest it. Don't run from it. I don't know. You beat me to the punch. That was my punchline. He's already getting ahead of my own show. He's right. And the Trump administration, they did the exact opposite. All the good news was framed as bad news. Black unemployment at its lowest level in forever. But there's still a few people without jobs. Yeah, we stumped, and he's definitely a racist. There's a black guy named Tom down the block who doesn't have a job, and Trump hates him, and they would go find him and interview him. I don't have a job, and Trump screwed me over. That would be that. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. The dipsy-doo flipperoo. You know what? Let me get to my next sponsor, and I'll get to the last one, because the last one's hilarious. Late payments are up. Meanwhile, people are missing it. But there's a positive side to that, too. It's incredible. Oh, boy. Sorry, I had to take a pause. Guy said my earpiece was creeping out a little bit. Did you guys notice that? You watch on Rumble, you see. So he fixed it because he's a pro. Here, his same email from Axios. Bad news, but this one, again, is about late payments going up. Yes, but if you're looking for good news, there are some signs of inflation easing, which would ease some of that burden on consumers. Gasoline prices, for instance, are down to roughly $4.35 a gallon from $5 a gallon in June, according to... Yeah, hallelujah is right. Late payments, gas prices. But if you're looking for good news, inflation that was 9.1, maybe 7% instead of the anticipated 2%. There's always an angle with them. I'm going to get to the gas price thing in a minute too, how the Biden administration is continuing the gaslighting on it. But as even though Guy kind of beat me to the punch with the punchline there, it was the exact opposite under Trump. Folks, on a very serious note, information warfare, I'm fascinated by it. How you can gaslight an entire country into believing. Obama was excellent at it. that the same set of facts leads to a different outcome. It's just fascinating to me. The problem with Biden is Biden and his team are just not very good at it. Remember, the essence of liberalism is control, folks. Control of the economy, control of the healthcare system, control of resources, control of where they can send your kids to school. We've only said it for the 8 years Joe and I have been doing the podcast. If there's one thing you need to understand about liberalism, it's authoritarian by nature. Everything is control. Everything is top down, run by the benighted ones, the anointed ones, as Thomas Sowell called them. And the most dangerous part of that is information control, having a monopoly over the fact checkers, over social media, being able to control in the media what people can see and what they can't, isolating them from the truth. Government will be in the future, if we continue down this path, the sole source of information. Now, once in a while, these great reset globalist politicians who kiss the ass of authoritarianism, once in a while they slip and they say something that's not a mistake, but they maybe didn't mean to say it like this. Here is the great reset-oriented authoritarian Prime Minister of New Zealand, the country I love, by the way. Gorgeous. Beautiful country. Jacinda Ardern. Here is the Prime Minister saying, yes, I want you to listen to this clip. It's gone viral for all the wrong reasons. Here is the Prime Minister saying, yes, we, the government, will be your sole source of information. If you hear anything from anyone else, just disregard it. Information warfare. The first step to the Great Reset. Check this out.
Dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth. We will provide information frequently. We will share everything we can, everything else you see, a grain of salt. And so I really ask people to focus on
that. Well, a egregious example of that appears to be this text, which originated in Malaysia and has become a viral hoax in Australia and in New Zealand. How irresponsible is it the people that are sharing that news of a lockdown imminent in New Zealand?
Yeah, and look, that's the kind of thing that adds to the anxiety that people feel. So I continue to share the message. New Zealanders must prepare, but do not panic. Prepare. And when you see those messages, remember that unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth. And I really ask people, just visit covid19.govt.nz. It has all of the up-to-date information.
Unless you hear it from us, it's not the truth. As that New Zealand party, she's in charge of Labour. Labor, the leftist party over there, as they push for massive social media banning of information they don't like. Folks, this is the Great Reset they talked about. A new authoritarian, tyrannical world where they control the economy, resources, healthcare assets, education, and most importantly, the flow of information. None of that is possible if you don't control information. It is why they are so obsessed with Twitter, Facebook, fact checkers. That's the reason. You have nothing if you don't control information. These people are experts. These people are infiltrating government and penetrating cabinets all around the world, by the way. This Great Reset crowd who wants to reset us away from a citizen-led republic and democracies around the world towards a top-down authoritarian control model. Again, sometimes they slip and tell you exactly what they want to do. Here's Klaus Schwab, one of the lead globalist great resetters around. He's the head of the World Economic Forum, the king of globalist organizations. He wrote a book actually titled The Great Reset. Here he is in a clip we've used before, but it's worth hearing again. He's very proud of the fact that they've penetrated cabinets around the world with these great reset authoritarians who think they should be the sole source of information. Take a listen to this.
I'm very proud of now the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina, too. Wow.
The best part of this is just using their own words. You know, I can see the left melting down because they never want you to know their plans. They like to do it in secret ninja style. It's a conspiracy theory. It's their words. Are you telling me Jacinda Ardern didn't say that? Are you telling me that's a manipulated clip of Klaus Schwab? He just said it. This is what they want. If you didn't hear it from us, it's not true. We will be the sole source of your information. Don't think that's a far-off story about New Zealand. The Great Reset crowd embedded in our own government believes the exact same thing. Information warfare. Hear it from us or it doesn't matter. Here is a perfect example. You know what? Let me get to my last question. I'm coming up next. A perfect example of how information warfare works. How the very same leftist media who are great resetters themselves, we're in charge, you are not, right? How for years they were crystal clear on what the definition of this economic term is. Now that we appear to be taking an economic downturn, they play right into the Biden administration's efforts to redefine the language in an information control. I mean, this is just language warfare, which is a prima facie evidence of information warfare. Information warfare, folks. You're going to see it right here. Let's establish a baseline first. How the media knows exactly what they're doing. The definition of a recession. Sorry to cover this 2 days in a row. But it's no longer about, are we in a recession or not? We are. Everybody knows it. Just ask the consumers. That's not the point. The point is the Great Reset information warfare. The authoritarians believe if you didn't get the information from us, it doesn't matter. Here's the media, a montage, hat tip newsbusters, agreeing repeatedly over and over again that a recession is two quarters of negative growth. Check this out.
Thursday, that first reading of second quarter GDP, there's a possibility this is a negative number. Two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
The definition of a recession is a decline in output for two consecutive quarters, or about 6 months.
A recession is just two consecutive quarters of economic decline.
When we talk about the possibility of a recession, what is a recession? A recession is two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters of declining GDP.
Because as you know, it's two consecutive quarters of down GDP.
That signals it is actually a definition of a recession.
I mean, the most common definition of a recession, two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
Even if we don't have two consecutive quarters of negative growth, we might have one quarter of growth so deep that it's classified as a recession.
Folks, that could go on for days. That's just a small segment of media people over and over again, hat tip newsbusters for putting it together, agreeing on 3 + 3 = 6. That's a fact. That's how we've defined recession. It's not open for interpretation. You don't get to change the facts. 3 + 3 = 7 because you don't like what 6 means. Yet, here's the White House again, understanding information warfare better than anyone. I want you to understand, I mentioned this yesterday, they're doing this for the fact checkers. Because the fact checkers want 3 + 3 = 8, and it doesn't. They need something to work with. So what they'll do is they'll count on the Biden administration and the media to just redefine what the word means so that they can slap a missing context label on anyone who posts, mark my words, who posts that we're now in a recession, according to the definition everybody agreed on beforehand. Here's Brian Deese, one of Biden's economic advisors, on CNN the other day, saying exactly that. Like, oh, you know what? That's not really what recession means now. Check this out.
What will be comments from some saying, two quarters of negative growth in a row, that's a recession.
Right, and certainly in terms of the technical definition, it's not a recession. The technical definition considers a much broader spectrum of data points.
Folks, I just can't. You see why they're doing this, right? Watch the fact checkers. They are the information warfare Praetorian Guard. Facebook didn't want to do it themselves, so they deputized these imbeciles to go do the information warfare for them. Now here's CNN jumping in on the game. Keep in mind, neither CNN nor anyone else ever disputed the definition of a recession in the past. It's simple. Two quarters, negative growth. Listen to this headline. If this isn't the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen, who decides if the U.S. is in a recession? Eight White House economists you've never heard of. Here we go. Eight white economists. I'm sorry. I actually gave them the benefit of the doubt. It actually says eight white economists. Now the definition of recession may be racist. God, dude, I shouldn't say this. You know, if I was a fake, we'd recut this to pretend that was that. I swear I did not even catch that. My brain, because I can't process that kind of stupid, I was focused more on the fact that this small group of people is now redefining. It's a racist thing. I swear I missed that. I'm glad you corrected that. Thank you. Like I said, if I was a fly, I'd recut that. I totally missed that. It's racist too. In addition to being economists you've never heard of. Information war. I'm so glad you said that. Really, I'm not kidding. I would have totally glossed over that. My brain filled in a spot that's not there because I can't process this kind of stupid. Talk about information warfare. It's so true. You're laughing. I'm not kidding. Here's Joe Biden yesterday from his official POTUS account. Again, the same set of facts. We know what the average gas price is now. It's $4.36, okay? We know what it is, which is high. Here's the framing, right? How the media will run with this too. Here's Biden's Twitter account. For American families looking for a little more breathing room, these savings matter. They talk about current gas prices, how they're less than they were just a couple weeks ago. Folks, do you know what the previous record for gas prices was before 2022, before this? Take a stab at it. It was in 2008. The number was $4.11 a gallon. Here's Biden in a tweet bragging that the current average is $4.36, which is more than 20 cents higher than the previous record in American history. Do you see how information warfare works? How you redefine what success is? Oh, this is successful. It could have been worse. It could have been $72 a gallon. So you get it? You get how this works? I'm not suggesting Republicans don't do the same thing, that framing, political framing, isn't a tool used by both sides. I'm simply suggesting to you that when Republicans and Democrats do it, it never makes it right. That you should learn to parse through the fog, the stupidity, the nonsense, the framing, and the gaslighting, and see the facts for what they are. Because once you see them, you can never unsee them. Joe Biden's gas prices, even now, are the highest they've been in modern American history. There is no amount of salesmanship or framing that's going to change that. And by the way, just in case you thought this had gone away, while we're paying record U.S. gas prices right now at $4.36 average a gallon, our strategic petroleum reserve, the stock we keep in the United States in the event of a massive emergency, is now its lowest level since 1985. Where's it going? Where's it going? Well, if you read my show notes, you'll see where it's going. Yeah, we're still selling it to China.
Yeah.
Our military oil, in case we're invaded and international supplies of oil were to go down, this is for use for the military, for an emergency. We're selling it to our geopolitical nuclear-powered enemy who's threatening to attack Taiwan. Sounds like a great idea. And by the way, every congressional Democrat Wednesday voted, you'll see in this piece, to continue sending oil from the SPRO to China. That's a fact. I'm sure Axios will frame that. But we're only 20 cents higher than the historically high thing. And Vladimir Putin's really helping us out right now. But it never ends with these people. Oh, boy. You know what I love about conservatism? I'll end on this today. Is conservatism and libertarianism, we shrink the control sphere. We've always believed in the principle of subsidiarity. If you don't understand subsidiarity, please look it up. It was originally used in terms of religious definitions in many cases. But subsidiarity is the principle that all control is best enacted at the local level and the smallest management unit possible. In other words, you shouldn't turn over to the federal government decisions that can be made by your local HOA board, right? Why should your local HOA board determine housing policies in your HOA? Because they live there and they know it. What the hell does Joe Biden know about your HOA's parking situation? The Democrats see it the opposite way. They expand the control sphere. Conservatives want to shrink it, local management. Democrats want to expand it. They want the benighted ones, the anointed ones in Washington, D.C. to control every aspect of your life. It is about control. It has been the theme of today's show. Everything. Controlling the parking space in your HOA, your healthcare system, national defense policy. They want everything. This is a great piece. I rarely, if ever, include CNN links in my newsletter, but today I made an exception. Because I want you to read this article by Ronald Brownstein called Red States Are Building a Nation Within a Nation. How CNN is in a panic. They just discovered federalism. They discovered the fact that the United States has a system of federalism where the federal government has limited powers and all other powers are delegated to the states. They hate it because they want to expand the sphere of control to the largest management unit possible, the opposite of subsidiarity, what we believe. The piece is about how all these red states are doing these really conservative things. They say this, the willingness of so many red states to adopt these common approaches testifies in part to an energetic organizing effort by many conservative organizations. They mentioned a few. But even more profoundly, the alignment of so many red states behind this shared agenda and strategy underscores how many of them are being shaped by a common set of economic and demographic trends. Yeah, yeah, things like liberty and freedom that they believe in and federalism. Never seen an article so nailed down what I'm talking about here, how we believe in local management for accountability reasons. And because local managers understand local situations, your city council understands far better what the federal government understands about your city. Your vote matters more as well in a local election. You think it's simple math. You want to be one of 100 million people voting or one of 1,000? You want to be one of 1,000. This freaks them out. They cannot forfeit control no matter what. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in. As always, on Tuesday, it's got the numbers for my show, just came in unfiltered. Number one again. Thank you. Number one on Saturday, cable news. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support of the Fox show. It means the world to me. Thank you very much. That's why I was smiling when we came back. So you all are great. Make sure to set your DVR for that show on the weekend. I know it's early Saturday at 9. And please, if you would, subscribe to my podcast. It helps us move up the charts. It's free. I so much appreciate it. We're at Apple, Spotify, and a rumble.com/Bongino. We're trying to get to 3 million subs there. We're almost there. Thanks. Really appreciate it. See you on the radio show later.
You just heard Dan Bongino.